You mustn't decide you know someone just because you see their name or see their picture or anything like that, which is why you listen to radio and get to know new people. Today, we're getting to know John Moreland. Hello, John. How are you doing?
Good day, Janine. How are you doing?
Fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. Okay, so when I hear your name, to me, I would expect you to be English, but you are Rau Afrikaner. So let's introduce you. Before we get to your music, which is obviously the whole point behind the interview, if you had to introduce yourself to someone who's never met you before, like personality, what you do for a living, family, that kind of thing, who is John Moreland?
Janine, well, that's a good question. Yeah, a lot of people, when they get to know me, the first thing they ask me is, John, are you originally from America or England or somewhere? You know, then I say, no, I'm totally Afrikaans. My English, I'm still working on it. John is actually in Pretoria. Yeah, I'm not a Blue Bull fan. I'm actually a Shark supporter.
Shocking.
It's a wonderful journey, you know, to talk with so many English people, you know, and get to know them, you know, at the later stage. Yeah, you remember actually what people are saying, and then you go and Google that big word, and then you say, oh, okay, it's something.
And you learn, live and learn.
Live and learn, you know,
Okay, so what is your personality? If you are introvert, extrovert, what do you do for hobbies? That kind of thing.
I'm actually working for a brilliant, brilliant company. We're providing oxygen. And I'm working with fantastic people around me. All my colleagues, they are such wonderful people. They always helping and they're always supporting, you know, whatever you do in life.
As in salesperson or what?
No. I'm actually a home care advisor giving people oxygen. So working with people is a big passion for us, you know, and for our company as well. But after hours, I love singing. I love enjoying my time, maybe playing a PlayStation now and then. You know, you always learn something somewhere, some hour, some minute. There's always something to learn about something or someone, you know, and I don't think that anything can take knowledge away from you, you know. So, everything that you do is knowledge. Everything that you hear is something to take with you in the future. Mm-hmm. So, John is basically just John, you know, laughing, making jokes. He loves making people smile, help people everywhere. He loves to assist, you know, where he can. You know, and that's basically John.
And John is also married. Tell me about Mia.
Mia, she's a very kind lady. She's, there's so much to tell. Where can I start?
How long have you guys been married?
We are together for 5 years. We're not really married yet.
Okay. So no kids yet.
We are getting there, you know.
Slowly but surely. I first have to find out who this man is who does the singing and everything like that. Because obviously you know how to go make money and everything like that. But you also mentioned that you are anchored to the Lord in the story behind the song. And I was wondering, how did you meet Jesus?
Janine, to be honest with you, yes, there's a part in your life that you feel that you're all alone, you know. And you feel at some stage, then you feel that, you know, you're asking, and why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why can't you step in to help me? And then basically it's like a downfall in your life. You know, you just sit back and you just say, okay, well, nothing's going to happen. And then one stage in your life, there comes a day, and I think a lot of people don't really understand it, but there is a time in your life when a day you will sit and you will just get the Spirit talking to you and saying, listen, go read this Bible. And you pick up that Bible and you read this certain verse, and it explains basically everything to you that you need to know as person. And, you know, God is almighty, you know, and I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for God, you know, and I wouldn't have been John if it wasn't for God. If I can go back in time, yeah, you don't think about that. You think, ah, yeah, it's not a story. People make up stories, you know, and they're telling this and they're saying this. But eventually in life, you grow up, you know, and you, it takes one person sometimes just to get to you and basically show you, listen, this is what's going on. This is the word of God. This is where everything happened and started, you know. So you can't do anything if you don't rely on God, you know, and that's just my perspective of the whole thing.
No, I agree with you. I'm thinking when I'm listening to your story, there's a very definite shift in one's opinion of the Lord and who he is before you read the Bible, before you get saved versus after you get saved. I mean, the reason why you don't understand what he's doing and don't agree and all of that is that you don't actually trust that this invisible being is going to be there for you, or that he actually knows what he's doing, you know? And when you read the Bible is this big book of judgment when you're not saved. And then when you do get saved, suddenly you find out, oh, it's this book that's a revelation of God. And actually, God is nice. What changed about your perception of the Lord? Like, what was a misconception that you had that changed when you got saved?
Well, I think the most, at one stage, I believed that seeing is believing, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think a lot of people are sitting with the same thing, you know. If you talk to some people, they will say to you, but how can you believe in something that you don't see? You know, and then you don't always have the correct answers, but then you can also, you know, I think there's a feeling or something that gets into you, and then you can explain in a certain way to people, but listen, this is what's happening. This is how it is, you know. And if you just change your mindset to this, then you will have more to see what is happening around you.
Yeah, clarity.
Who's providing for you, you know, and who's taking care of you. Who's, if you, like the scripture says, you know, if you ask me and I will give to you, you know. And I think the first time when Mia actually came to me, you know, and she sat down with me with the Bible, and I was thinking by myself, okay, what now?
Yeah. Know,
yeah, I think that is where I actually saw a few scripts, you know, and it made me think, you know, okay, but this is real, you know, God is real.
Mm.
Jesus did die for me on the cross, you know, for all my sins, long even before I was even created, you know, and I think that is the highest point in my life at this stage, is to know that every morning when I wake up, the breath I'm taking, the first breath I'm taking in the morning, is not because of myself, it's because of God.
Hmm.
You know, and that is important, you know. And the last one before I close my eyes, you know, before I say amen, and after every night of praying, the last breath I take, I know that's Jesus, you know. And one guy said to me one time, or Mia actually said that to me, you know, someone said to her, every time when you inhale, it's the word that actually that you inhaling is Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Because,
yeah, you know, he gave you that. Yeah, so yeah, it's. I think for some people it's difficult to understand. For me, myself, it was very difficult to understand, but I think I've got a better and clear light of this whole thing now.
Okay, let's get to your music, because obviously this is not a song that you wrote. Someone else wrote this song, but you recorded it. But do you write your own music?
I do. Sometimes I will sit and, you know, I will thinking of an idea. You know, I'm not really a writer, so I will sit and I will think about something that's happened, and then I'll basically make like a movie inside of my mind, you know, and then I start writing according to that. But then I will send it to these guys and they will basically put it from A to Z. Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering about your music because it's something very, very special. And people who have it sometimes don't realize that us people who don't have it, we look at you and like, we can't fathom this thing of creating something. I actually met someone about 2 years ago. So this guy started being interested in playing the guitar. But he didn't even understand when I said go higher or go lower that you go up with your voice to go higher and you go lower with your voice. That your mind can't even fathom the fact that someone cannot fathom that. So I know I'm asking you something difficult here, but try and explain to someone who doesn't sing the kick you get out of creating, using your voice and making something that's beautiful and other people enjoying it.
Sure. To be honest with you, the kick basically in doing a song, you know, especially sometimes when your voice is quite deep and then suddenly you get this song and you need to go high with a high note. For some people, yes, it is very difficult. But if you believe, you can do it, you know. And I know someone that actually said to me, we were singing a song and they said to me, but I can't do this. I can't go that high. And I said to her, but you can. I know you can. Just do it. Just imagine yourself in front of a mirror and just do this thing. Just do it. You like Nike, you know? Just do it. I think it was the second time, she pitched that high note like
a pro.
I couldn't imagine. I can't imagine. It was like high. And I said to her, what did you do just now? And she was like, I don't know. You know, it's a... Yeah, I think the first time when you actually get that high note that you're supposed to get, you get that feeling inside of you, I want to do more, I want to go higher than that. And you just get that feeling of pushing yourself to the limits, you know. And, you know, sometimes it is very difficult, especially when you're very low. And like Etienne Jordan, you know, he's very low. And when you suddenly need to go up and you get that high note, yes, definitely you get this vibe inside of you to go to the extreme.
Sense of an achievement. I'm thinking of, remember Sister Act and Whoopi Goldberg and the redhead girl? And she puts her hand on her stomach and she says, use that diaphragm. And she goes up there and she sings loudly and clearly. That's what I'm thinking of when you're trying to explain that. But it must be gratifying to have an audience enjoy the music that you make, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, to see people laughing, to see people smiling. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, it's to make people feel loved. You know, first of all, although people don't see it like that, but it's to make people joyful. You know, it's to make people just feel that wow, it's so, can I say it, lucky? It's to stand on a stage and see people dancing and see people laughing. It's like you don't know what happened maybe yesterday in that guy's life or that lady's life. You don't know pain that they're going through, but for that moment, they are just so enjoying themselves that they can't express any more feelings. The one big thing is also that when some people start crying while they're enjoying themselves, you know, that is such an amazing experience to see in front of you. And that actually puts sometimes tears in your eyes, you know, as a singer, when you're standing there and you think to yourself, wow, is this what this song is doing to these people, you know? And I think all the praise must go to God for that, because you can't do anything without God, you know, and you can't present yourself if you don't have the love of God inside of you.
Yeah, you connect emotionally with it. And I mean, music must do something to you personally as well. The enjoyment you get from creating something beautiful with your voice. It must just give you a kick that God has given you something so precious.
That's true. It's an amazing feeling. You know,
you are privileged. I hope you know this. Lots of people are very jealous because you can and they can't. Listen, if people want to connect with you, if they want to follow you and see when you've got new music or where you're performing, what's your socials?
Well, I'm not really big on TikTok. I'm still old school, you know. I'm still with the
the Facebook X's.
but I am busy with the TikTok and so on and Instagram. For now, a lot of people are communicating with me myself on Facebook, John Morland. And yeah, you know, some people, they inbox me and then they say, how did you do it? Now, if I say that, then I need to say this, you know, is that some people, when you're down in life and even when you were in school, you know, some people will say to you, you're a nobody. You're not going to go anywhere, you know. But today, you know, they will look at the video and then they will inbox me, you know, and they will say, yes, what did you do with your life? Where did you come to this turnaround? And, you know, the only thing that gets to your mind is to say, Jesus, that's all. You know, you can't say anything else. So yeah, Facebook is the main social for now, and yeah, then we're busy with Instagram and we're busy with TikTok. But like I said, yeah, I need help with that. That's technology.
Help me, I help. Okay, help wonderful. Me, we'll be following you there. But first, and we're going to look for the video as well. Just go look for John Morland, Morland, like in the land that you live in, Morland. John Morland. But maybe before we listen to the song, maybe you can tell us what the story is behind the song.
What happened with Anker May, I was basically just in hospital and I just gave up. You know, I just said to Mia, you know what, this is not for me. It's not going to work for me because there's so many young singers that, and sorry to say this, but it's true, they think they're already on top of the world, you know, and they don't stay humble. And yeah, I just got this guy on Facebook, Werner Beekers, and I said to him, listen, this is what I want. And I thought to myself, yeah, this guy, I don't think he understands. And that night, he actually video called me and Mia while I was sitting with my drip and everything. And I explained to him, and he said to me, okay, just tell me this and this and this and this. And the next morning, 10 o'clock, Anker May was there.
Oh, and wow.
I was like crying. I couldn't stop the tears. The doctor said to me, do you have pain? I said, no pain. Nothing. It's just, I'm just very happy. So, yeah, and I didn't know exactly the meaning of Anker May. I didn't really think it was a gospel song at that time because I was still in that two mindset. And on a later stage, yeah, then after recording and sitting and listening to the song and doing the video, then I actually realized, but listen, hey, this song is actually talking to you. You know, this song is actually telling you a lot about God, you know, how to be anchored into God's love, you know, and His passion for you as human beings. You know, and yeah, I think that was the highlight of this whole Anker May, and Mia was the main factor in this whole song.
And Anker May is the name of the song. So this is what you're going to go Google. But in the meantime, we'll play it. Because we're nice like that, you see. We're going to play you the song so that you can make up your own mind whether you like his music or not. And then who knows what the future holds.